Cherry Developer News, episode number 46 for Monday, August 20th, 2012. I'm Ken Rimple. I'm here by myself again, and I'm trying to reboot the Developer News because we've taken a nice long summer vacation, as we do every time, every year this time of year. You know, we're too busy with other things, believe it or not. Turns out I've been doing a ton of training in spring, so I really haven't had much time to take care of this. But we have a number of articles here that I'd like to go through. It turns out that this is another week where we kind of give away some good blog articles from Chariot's consultants. We've been doing a lot of writing on our end, I guess, over the summer. And so the items we're looking at today, we can find at delicious.com/developernews/46. And I'll pull up one here. We'll start out with a Objective-C and Xcode topic. This is called The Selfless Debugger by Big Nerd Ranch. That's on weblog.bignerdranch.com. Number 793 here is the article. And basically, looks like Xcode 4.4, there are a few things that don't quite work the same way they did. The low-level debugger and GDB are refusing to display instance variables inside of some blocks. So it turns out that basically, who is this? This is, doesn't say who, oh, Mark Dalrymple. So it turns out that Mark Dalrymple is blogging about this. And he goes through some of the interactions with the debug. So for example, if you're, you know, setting up something and you set a variable and you print access to it, in some cases, it actually won't print what is real, unless you kind of go out of your way to make it happen. Now, I'm not an Objective-C person, but if you're using Xcode 4.4, you may want to look at this article. Again, and even 4.4.1 apparently still has this bug. So anyway, that's at the Big Nerd Ranch weblog, and we have a link in the show notes as well. Next on the list. So SpringSource has been pretty busy as they're getting up and running, getting ready for Spring 1. It turns out that they've been putting a lot of things out, getting things ready to ship, I suppose. One of the things they did recently on the 13th is they, or around the 13th, is they issued a movement of the SpringSource tool suite over to GitHub. And in doing so, they actually open sourced the plugins themselves, which is a very interesting job. They've actually broken it up now into two distributions. So if you are a Java developer, and you get a hold of the Spring tool suite download that has all the basic tooling for Spring, including Core Spring, Spring integration and batch, Webflow, Spring data. It also has like TC Server. I think it's 2.7.1, developer edition and Spring Root 1.2.2. And it's built on top of Juno, which is the 4.2 Eclipse release. That was what was similar to the old SpringSource tool suite that's now being called Spring Tool Suite. Then they've got a Groovy Grails tool suite. So it turns out, and this will be nice for the Grails developers, it's pre-installed with Grails tooling and direct deployment to TC Server and a usable Grails installation as part of the distribution as well. But that's not the most important thing. It turns out they've actually broken apart these into small modules as well. Componentize them a bit so that they can kind of use them as bases for future development efforts. So it turns out you can actually take pieces of these and install them. So the Spring IDE, which had existed before, is now on GitHub.com. And by the way, all of the GitHub stuff for Spring Source is under GitHub.com/SpringSource. But this is a Spring IDE, and this is all the basic Spring and AspectJ tooling, including Webflow, Data, Security, and Rue. And Spring integration. Then there's Grails IDE, which is just on top of Eclipse platform. So if you install Groovy Eclipse, then you can install Grails IDE on an existing Eclipse installation, which is nice. Also, there's an Eclipse integration for TC Server. So if you purchase TC Server, but you're not a Spring developer, maybe you're doing something else, Java EE or Seam or something with a web profile, you could do that, create new instances of TC Server, connect to existing ones, deploy, activate Insight, which is a great monitoring tool they have there. So that's called the Eclipse integration for TC Server, and that's also a GitHub project. Then they also have Eclipse integration for Gradle. So it turns out if you need build support with Gradle, SpringSource has this project for you, and you can download this, and it'll actually open up a Gradle-based project and let you use it from Eclipse. And then they also have some shared common components, user analysis agent, and the Spring dashboard and such is now externalized into the Eclipse integration comments. So what they've done basically is broken up some of the dependencies between these things. They've also now made it possible for you to contribute fixes. So if you want to contribute a push of a patch, let's say, to try to fix something, and you happen to be good at developing in the Eclipse APIs, you may be able to contribute patches for them. And they have information on contributor guidelines in the blog posts. So that's its blog.springsource.org, and it's the blog entry for 8/13/2012. Again, we'll have a note. And that's Martin Lippert who blogged that information. So good stuff there. Now we have some blog articles from Chariot developers. First one, and actually first two, are from Keith Gregory. Keith Gregory does Java development for us in Spring and a lot of other platforms. And he has an article called Taming Maven Dependency Management on his blog, which is blog.kdgregory.com. And so he talks about dependency management as opposed to just dependency. I've mentioned this in the past, especially on the screencast I've been doing around Maven. But dependency management is a section in the Maven POM that isn't often understood. It turns out it's kind of a way of setting preferences on what you want from third level dependencies or dependencies of your dependencies. If you would like to see them use a certain version of, you know, Commons logging or something like that, or a version of Spring. Normally, you would have to do things like exclude and mount things directly. But the other way to do it is basically tell it in dependency management, hey, if you ask for this dependency, it should be this version. And so he has a blog entry there about that. Really simple. He explains it. And then also he shows the exclusion process and, you know, the differences between the two. All right. And he also talks a bit about using properties for versions as well. Okay. That's the first one. The second one he has is setting up a local Maven repository server. And so he briefly discusses, you know, the differences between the types of repository servers, the fact that you could just use a file system if you use HTTP, like an Apache web server, and follow the repository format. However, you know, you don't get the publishing features like you do with Nexus or Artifactory, so he talks about each of those. So it's a good kind of, you know, one-page overview of what repository management's all about. And, you know, they talk about, you know, he talks about things like, you know, cloud hosting your repository or EC2 images and how they might work. Again, that's also at blog.kdgregory.com. Next up, we have Joel Confino. He put an article out actually last year, and I just picked up on it this year. It looked super cool. Back in August 3rd of 2011, he actually has a script that uses Groovy to connect to Gmail, and it tags items for him so he can look at them later. Really interesting. So he used Groovy, and he was using, let's see, Java Mail and the Java Beans activation framework jars. He starts out by showing how to make a connection to Gmail using IMAP. Then he actually looks, you know, and creates a label for each thing he wants to use for a label, using the store objects get folder, which essentially lets you create or get a folder. You can see whether it exists, and if not, you can go folder.create. And then he walks through all the mail and looks through Gmail all mail, looking for each message, looking for a certain content in the body. And if he finds it, he will flag it with a certain, you know, attachment folder. So he would basically copy the message to that folder, which in Gmail essentially just attaches a label to that particular message. Really neat stuff if you have to go through a very large, and I know I've been in the mode now where I haven't been deleting much because Gmail just keeps getting larger and larger. I keep my mail on there. Probably not the smartest move, but the point is that I can search for it in text. And I can find things from years back. If you have an account like that and you want to start organizing and taming it, this is one of the ways you might be able to come about and do that. So again, that's at blog.chariotsolutions.com. And if you search for Groovy script to tame Gmail attachments or look at our show notes, we'll show you what that content is. So that's a really interesting way of automating Gmail if you use Gmail. Next up, we have Corey Ladislaw's article on integrating RoboElectric with IntelliJ. So RoboElectric is, it looks like it's a an automation tool or a tool to communicate with various pieces of Android. And if you install RoboElectric, it looks like there's a Maven build that you can set up for Maven plugin. And then you have all sorts of basically plugin goals like Android : deploy, Android : generate sources, Android : push, pull, you know, things like that, instrumenting for testing, generating sources, stopping and starting the emulator. So it's an interesting plugin. And she walks through, if you're an IntelliJ developer, how to set this up. Apparently, it's a little more manual than what you'd normally do. But it looks like the gist of it is that you just have to set up IntelliJ to point to the right places, set up the plugin, and then you should be able to see in your Maven Projects tab, you should be able to see these commands. And then she kind of goes through how to write a test in it, run it on JUnit 4, and then run that test. So an interesting one. She has a lot of screenshots. So if you're looking to get into using IntelliJ and you know, you want to use a good tool against it, you know, against Android, this might be a way to do it. All right, great. So that's that article. Let's see. We are sponsored by Chariot Solutions. And one of the things we do and one of the things I do on a regular basis is training. If you go to chariotsolutions.com/education or just from the homepage, you can take a look at the courses. We have a number of courses coming up in the early fall. First one is a core spring course. We actually have a back to school special on that one. And so if you use the registration code, try back number two school. When you register for Core Spring, you'll get $200 off our already low price, about $2,400. So it's a really good deal. We got plenty of room in the class right now. So if you want to get some people into Core Spring training, certainly come on over and register. That's at chariotsolutions.com/education. Also at the Chariot Solution, it's a singular just to fit the Twitter at Chariot Solution. The Chariot Solutions, Twitter account, you'll see the registration code there and a link right to the class. So, and we'll put that in the show notes as well. So you'll save money there. Also coming up this month, or I should say in September, are a Hibernate with Spring class. And in October, we have some interesting things as well. We are running the second iteration of Fast Track to Scala. That was very successful, where we had Jamie Allen from TypeSafe come in to co-teach with our instructor, Michael Pigg. Michael's going to be doing this one solo. He had rave reviews last time, and so he's available for that training October 18th. Hopefully we'll see you come out for that. And also we're running three Maven courses in a row, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, just after Spring 1, actually. It'll be the Maven 101 course, which is an introductory course for Maven developers. And then we're going to be doing the Advanced Maven course. And at the end of that one, the very next day, we'll do a whole course on Nexus. All of these are available at the chariotsolutions.com/education site. Come on in and see us. We're getting a lot of interest these days, and our classes are filling up. So definitely register and make sure that you get involved if you need some training. Okay, that's it. For more podcasts and information, you can go to emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com. On that website, you'll see a number of things, including all of our content, almost all of our content for Emerging Technologies for the Enterprise, our big show from this year. We have almost every single session up online as a screencast. You can stream right to your desktop and watch. So if you didn't make it, heck, you can see it for free now. And there are a lot of really, really good talks from HTML5 apps in Java and Scala to you know, advanced techniques with responsive design. We have and these are all big names here. We have dependency injection with functional programming. We've got interesting stuff on Cloud Foundry. We've got stuff on, Android, on Vadin, which is a nice GWT-like RIA without running a GWT compiler. Agile, you name it. There's a ton of stuff on here. If you scroll through this, it's like a who's who of open source developers and people who are talking about the latest technologies and concepts. You can also find our other screencast and podcast over there as well. So head on over there. It's all completely free. You can subscribe to these podcasts. I have links to them on iTunes and also RSS feeds. So feel free to use this resource. It's free for you to use. All right. So that's all for the developer news this week. I'm Ken Rimple, and make it a good week.